Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How wonderful it is to be in Christ. And how wonderful it is to be in the body of Christ. And I just was thinking how grateful I am for you and how God has used you to help me over the last many months. And I'm just so grateful to be here this morning. Actually, I'm thinking about going home and getting some popcorn and having a nap is what I'd really like to do. But we'll do that in a little while. I talked to Pastor Wayne about a month ago, and I was arranged to, you know, to come over and speak this morning. And he said, how's it coming? Are you ready? And I've learned my lesson on that. I remember one of the first times I came over to speak here, I had it all ready to go in my iPad. And somewhere between my house and the island, I lost everything. It's possible for me to do that, believe me. And you talk about scramble. But I learned a valuable lesson. I'm never ready. You never know what's going to happen. And God always comes through, and it's His word, it's His message that matters. It has nothing to do with us. And I'm learning my lesson. So I didn't know what I was going to be preaching about today, but I am ready to go now. And this message started back in the spring. My mother-in-law Sharon was over visiting us, and we were having a discussion on sin. We were talking about it. It was an interesting discussion. And so this message this morning has kind of arisen out of that discussion. I need to go a little deeper in that discussion and think about it a little bit more. You know God's will. We do know God's will. He's very interested in helping us with our my eye problem. And we've been talking about selfishness and how it affects us and the world that we're living in. And God is interested in helping us more than we ever know. And He's not ready to just help us. He's ready to change us. Can you imagine His plan and purpose is for us to be transformed into His own image, His own likeness. It continues to blow my mind when I think about it, that He would be interested in doing that. But He is, and He helps us. And I'd like to dig a little deeper into this problem of sin that we all deal with. First, by just defining what it is. Second, talking about what is the problem with sin, and then how it is that we can be free of it in Christ. Was anybody here in the church? Did the college chorale ever come to the college and church to sing? Does anybody remember the college chorale that used to come? We've got one person in it. You were in it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jeannie and Gary would remember. Some of us went to college in Winnipeg. Our church college was there some years ago now. And they used to have a course each year where usually the freshmen, but everybody that wanted to be, actually especially the ones that could sing, they were invited to be a part of the college chorale. And it was a recruitment tool. And they would send the group west one year and then east the next year. And we would go singing. And it was quite an experience. I went one year. And we went to class all year long to prepare for this. 3 hours a week we went in class. We had some expert training in it. We even had tuxedos that we we went down, got a line on them, and had tuxedos. I mean, it was sharp. Some of you remember it. And we used to sing this beautiful music. And we worked at it and worked at it. It was amazing what they could get out of the likes of us. But I remember one of the songs that we used to sing. We went over and over. You know, you had to memorize it and get it right down to the last detail. And it was from the pen of the psalmist. And we used to sing, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" We had to diminish off, you know, and it was quite sharp. But I remember singing that over and over again. "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And I remembered that this last week. What is man that God Almighty would even be interested in us? Think about it. We are so insignificant sitting in this sanctuary this morning, across this city and the country and the world. But yet God is interested in you and me so deeply and so profoundly. And he pursues us. And he wants to change us. And so he helps us with this me problem. This mindset that says, I must be first. So there's a number of blanks there. Let's go through this. You're thinking, how long is this going to take? We're going to go through quick. Because there's popcorn and naps to be had down the road here. Yeah, I think I do. Thank you. There's another one here, too. So under this definition, what sin is? Sin is the opposite of God and good. Sin is the opposite of God and good. The psalmist also says everything God does is good and fair. All of his commandments can be trusted. It is impossible for God to do anything evil. He cannot sin or do wrong. Everything good that comes to us comes from God. It's who he is. And the opposite of that comes from the evil one. Secondly, sin is the opposite of love. Matthew says there, as sin and evil increase in the world, people's love will grow cold. They asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment? He said, well, I think that's easy. You just have to love God. And if you love your neighbor, it's going to be good. And sin is the opposite of love. Thirdly, sin is always selfishness. That's quite a lens to look through to understand sin. Sin is always selfishness. Wherever there is selfishness, James 16:9 says, you will find disorder and every kind of evil sin. And then last, sin is always unbelief in who God is. Unbelief in who God is. In John, it says, from Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit will show that the world's sin is unbelief in me. When we don't give God his rightful place and we want to insert ourselves and take on his role instead of letting him do it for us, and we don't believe him, we don't understand him, it creates all kinds of problems for us. Instead of trusting in his power, we feel weak. We rely on our own strength. We get worried and anxious instead of believing in who he is and what he can do. And it all starts with with a belief in who God is. The problem with sin number one is that we are born with a selfish desire to sin. A selfish desire to sin. If A is good and B is bad, we have a natural tendency to want to choose B. You remember Paul said, I feel that I'm a slave to my sinful desires. Sin masters me. I don't even understand the things that I do. I want to do what is right, but I simply can't do it. Instead, I do the wrong things that I don't want to do. I just can't help myself because of my sinful nature inside of me. It's a law at work in me, and that is at war with my mind. Second, sin also breaks my fellowship with God. Sin breaks my fellowship with God. Your sins are the roadblock, Isaiah says, between you and your God. That's why he doesn't answer your prayers or let you see his face. It's true in our relationships, isn't it? If you have a family member, if I say something to my wife that is unkind or insensitive, it affects the relationship. It's a relationship. It happens with all of us. And if I do things and say things that I shouldn't be doing and saying, it begins to affect the relationship. The same thing is true with ourselves. We can lie and abuse ourselves as well. But most importantly, our relationship with God. We cannot afford to break fellowship with him. We need to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten his word so we can understand what he's wanting to say to us. And when we sin, that fellowship is broken. And he waits. And we are separated. Then number three, every time I sin, something dies inside of me. Every time I sin, something dies inside of me. It always has a consequence. It's the opposite of life. It may be my potential or my confidence, a relationship. When I sin, something dies, whether I'm aware of it or not. James chapter 1, it says, our evil desires makes us sin. And when sin is finished with us, it leaves us dead. And number four, my sin may be a secret, but it's never private. My sin may be a secret, but it's never private. Whenever I sin, whether it's a secret, whether I keep it to myself, whether anyone else is aware of it, or whether I'm even aware of it myself, it's never a private matter because it affects others. You see that verse in Numbers, it says, you may be sure that your sin will find you out. It's just a matter of time. Interesting, you see sometimes church leaders leading large churches and exciting things might be happening, only to find out that something comes out down the line that nobody knew about. Eventually it does come out. It's true for all of us. It may be a secret, but it's never private. And ultimately, we don't serve ourselves. It's not us and our own feelings and whether I am impacting someone else or not, it always does affect someone else because it affects me. And that in turn affects them, and it becomes a selfish thing. And ultimately, it will all be laid bare, and we'll be able to see openly. And then number five, sin does long-term damage. We might not see it right now, but we're always sowing seeds. And eventually those seeds are going to reap a harvest. And sin does long-term damage. You see in Galatians, it says, don't deceive yourselves. You can't make a fool out of God. Whatever you plant is what you will harvest. And if you plant in the soil of your sinful nature, your harvest will be destruction. But if you plant in the soil of your spiritual nature, you'll harvest everlasting life. Another verse in Romans. Sometimes, you know, we look at these things and it's difficult for us to think about, but this is what the scripture says. Romans, it says, because of your stubbornness and refusing to repent and turn from your sin, you are storing up a terrible punishment for yourself. For there's going to come a day of judgment when God will judge all people according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who seek God, but those who are self-seeking and reject the truth and practice sin, they will face God's anger. Aren't you glad we're not on our own, but we have a Savior who's ready to come and to rescue us? Let's talk about breaking free from sin and living in the abundant life that He provides for us. Let's talk about how to do that. And the first thing there is to understand what Jesus has done for me. Understanding what Jesus has done for me. 1 Peter, it says, Jesus personally carried away all of our sins in His own body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. We don't have to have the penalty. He has carried that penalty of our sins upon Himself. But beyond that, look at this next verse in 2 Corinthians. Although Jesus died on the cross in weakness, He now lives by the mighty power of God. And we too are weak, but we live in Him and have God's power. Not only are we free from the penalty of sin, but we're freed from the power of sin. And we don't have to be mastered by it anymore. Number two, I need to let God give me a new nature. I'm a whole new creature. 1 John, it says, those who have born again into God's family will not continue in habitual sin, because God's life is in them now. Romans says, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, you are controlled by your new nature. And this verse in Psalms, where David was under, he'd come to the realization of his own sin, but also he had enemies coming in on him, and he was sobered up, and he comes to the point where he says, it's not sacrifices that really move your heart, God, burnt offerings or sin offerings. That's not what brings you joy. But when you open my ears and speak deeply to me, I become your willing servant. and you're prisoner of love for life. When he comes and uses my new ears, part of my new nature, he can speak to me in a way that I would never be able to hear before. I learn about myself and what's going on in my life and what's going on around me. And I can allow him to speak deeply to me. So we have what Jesus has done for me. He has given me a new nature. But we also need to change the way that I think about sin. I need to change the way I think about sin. Jesus died to defeat sin once and for all, and now he lives in God and for God. In the same way, you should think of yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to the power of God in Christ Jesus. Do you ever wonder why God would have interest in us and pursue us and love us and value us and change us and allow us to become like Jesus? Do you ever wonder why he would do that? It's because he wants us to be a part of his mission. If he would do that inside of us, he wants to use us to see others come to Christ and be transformed as well. And that's what our part is. Our salvation, isn't it nice to be able to relax and know that it does not depend on us, but we can simply be in Christ, and he takes care. Our security depends on him, not on us. And we can rely on that. And we can rely on his nature and his power inside of us. But our part is to be able to share that with others in a way that it impacts them and it changes them. And I thought before we continue in our worship service this morning, I just wanted to think about that for a moment. Your effectiveness in the lives of others around you. I drive school bus, and I have a good friend, a Christian brother there that drives with me. And he goes to church. Goes every Sunday. When they had Sunday school, he went to Sunday school. When they started small groups, he started a small group. And he's been in a group for many, many years. I think they go out once a month and they work with the homeless in the streets, and he's there. He tithes on his income, and if there's an offering beyond that, he's generous. He has a pastor's heart, and I've enjoyed fellowship with him. And he has a daughter who's in her 30s, and they've called her the black sheep of the family. When she got up, she was not going to have anybody tell her, even though she was raised in the church, how she was going to live, and she went and did her own thing. And just recently, she has met a guy who is in a church, and they were interested in dating, and she wanted to move in together, as many of the young people want to do these days. And he said, that's not happening, which piqued her curiosity all the more. She started going to church with him, and just a few months ago in August, she was baptized. So I said to him, I said, what was the difference? You've been raising her all these years. What made the difference? What changed? Why is this happening now after all this time? And he said to me, the difference is I stopped looking at her and I started looking at myself. And I've been doing that and things have been happening and I can't believe it. And it may be that we need to stop long enough for God to open our minds, to think about ourselves, to think about Him and especially those around us, to do a work in our hearts and in our minds so that He'd be able to come in and do some things in and through our lives and through this church that would leave us all amazed.